And it'll be Optimus Prime, John Cena, Matt Schaub, and a paw print. And that just means to quarterback kneel it. And it's like signed that, like, legitimately, if you think about it, and we break it down into like the dumbest terms, essentially Michigan has some guy who probably played a ton of Resident Evil games, or probably some young kid who grew up like around my age in the 20s, early 30s, who grew up playing a lot of video games and sent out this guy to games and was cracking those 4x4 codes. The man is just a puzzle.
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs?
Howdy guys, welcome to another edition of Gridiron Jabroni. Per usual, I'm your host, Kayfabe Kev, Kevin Duran, at Podcast Kev on Twitter. And this is episode 6 of Gridiron Jabroni. And if you're a local listener, an A&M fan, a Texans fan, a Cowboys fan, it's your bye week. It's week 8 in college football. And week 7 in NFL football. Got a big slate for you guys on this episode. We're obviously going to preview the upcoming games this weekend. Let's check what we have this weekend. I want to say 4 top 24 matchups, top 25 matchups. Yeah, 4 top 25 matchups. And for the most part, it can really shake up the top 25. I don't think any of these top 25 matchups this weekend will shake up the top 4. Ohio State, Penn State. I forgot about that one. That's the big one, too. That's the one that's going to shake up the top 4. Other than that, ACC matchup will be affected. Tennessee, Alabama plays each other. I don't think that'll really shake up the SEC too much. Other than top 25 rankings, Oregon, Washington State's going to be a good game this weekend. We'll preview all the games. There's a lot of good ones. I'm just looking at the schedule right now, and I keep getting distracted. I keep looking at it and just distracting myself with all these good games that we're going to preview later in the episode. I want to start with we're about halfway through the season. We're well over halfway through the season now. So I want to start with Heisman Watch. I want to give you my Heisman prediction. The obvious Heisman predictions. We'll talk the official Heisman watch. Give you my Heisman sleepers. I want to talk some recent college football news that's been going on. Maybe give you guys some information on that. A lot of people probably aren't in the know or probably don't really know what's going on. And then we're a month into the NFL, so that's going to be exciting to talk about. We got a lot of people kind of showing who's real, who's fake. A lot of teams are kind of standing out. A lot of teams are kind of falling apart. A lot of people are hurt. So a lot has happened in the first month. So we're going to preview that, talk about that before we head to our previews of the weekend, week 8 in college football, week 9 in the NFL. And then, of course, rounding it out with some picks, giving you guys my picks for the weekend. But I want to dive right in because it's a lot on the slate. Heisman watch through 7 weeks. We're entering week 8. And the shakeup of week 7 was enough to shake up the Heisman finally. Caleb Williams finally fell out of the first place contention with that very poor performance last week. Washington's Michael Penix is currently the number one favorite for the Heisman, 74 potential votes or whatever. Leading the Heisman watch from Washington, I like Michael Penix. I think the story with the MCLs that he tore out in Indiana State, the Hoosiers, And to come back from that in Washington and, you know, have this Heisman run, it kind of feels like a Cinderella story. You got to see really what Washington does. That win against Oregon was impressive. It was pivotal for the Pac-12. I think we could see them play each other again later in the championship. I think that's how the Pac-12 works. Right? There's no divisions. So I think it's the two best teams. And I think we could easily see Oregon and Washington playing each other again in the Pac-12 championship. So just keep an eye on Washington. I think Michael Penix really, his Heisman hopes revolves around Washington's performance. I think if Washington makes it to the playoffs, you will see Michael Penix in the finals. I think it's kind of his spot to lose. Just kind of like what, kind of how Caleb Williams did. Just one poor performance dropped him. And I think as soon as Michael Penix has a bad performance, Caleb Williams will be back to the number one vote. Bo Nix is currently in third. The Oregon quarterback, former Auburn quarterback, he's good. He seems NFL ready. I feel like Oregon is doing this thing like they did with Herbert, where they're putting out this quarterback, and kind of Mariota, they're putting out these quarterbacks that look NFL ready, but like they kind of cap at NFL ready. Like, that's all we ever see them at is NFL ready. We don't ever see them get better. Marcus Mariota was NFL ready. Didn't really pan out. Justin Herbert, I'm a big fan of him. He was NFL ready, and he looked amazing. Can we be honest? Hasn't really panned out for the team, at least. I think he's having great performances, but, you know, when you can't win a Super Bowl, or sorry, when you can't win a playoff game, not even think about the Super Bowl, can't even win a playoff game, can't even make it to the playoffs, I think you're not panning out. And Bo Nix could easily be this. Same thing. Bo Nix could easily be a quarterback that looks Heisman ready and has a lot of hype and won't pan out in the NFL. But as far as this season, he's looking good. I think the Washington game was just a fluke. Not a fluke. Kind of a misstep in the journey, you know? I think he'll be fine. I think Bo Nix has as much potential as everyone else. I think this Heisman race is pretty close. Jordan Travis and Cam Ward coming in at 4 and 5 on the official Heisman watch. I have a couple people, two guys that I want to talk about that I think maybe statistically, and that's the thing, I don't know about the Heisman is all about the good story. Everyone wants a good story with the Heisman. And I think Drake May, while he doesn't have a great story, I think if North Carolina can keep doing what they're doing, and that's being sneaky good and, you know, quietly making it to the ACC championship, and they can quietly win the ACC. And Drake May, I mean, he's currently sitting at 12 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. Now compare that to a Caleb Williams' 23 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, or a Michael Penix's 20 touchdown and 3 interception performances. The difference is, I think in all that, Drake May is playing actual competition. Drake May, the ACC is steps above better than mediocre ACC is steps above better than mediocre Pac-12, I think. Looking at North Carolina's record, they're currently 6-0. You have a win against Miami. That win against Syracuse was impressive. South Carolina, the first game of the year. You do have that the gauntlet basically at the end of the year, and that's really what's going to be the reason I'm high on Drake May, and I've been high on Drake May all season since the beginning of the season, to be honest. It's because Drake May is kind of like JJ McCarthy, who's my second guy. That was my spoiler, was JJ McCarthy. And the fact that, like, they have the easy journey right now, you know, kind of work out the kinks, coast along. But come the end, or at least for Drake May in this instance, you add Miami, you should beat Virginia. You stumble against Georgia Tech. That's a common thing, you know. You're used to stumbling against Georgia Tech. So after Virginia this upcoming week, Georgia Tech, and then after Campbell, you have that gauntlet of Duke, Clemson, NC State. Duke at home, and then Clemson and NC State back-to-back on the road. NC State is one of those teams that I thought in the beginning of the season was going to be good, and now I'm realizing they were a pretender, not a contender for the ACC. Clemson is Clemson. They are having a 4-2 season right now, which is not bad, but Dabo has absolutely spoiled that fan base that they're upset about it. And, you know, coming from an A&M fan, and we're paying Jimbo to have a worse record than Kevin Sumlin after 65 games. We're paying him so much, and I'm seeing Clemson fans upset at a 4-2 record right now, and that hurts. Not a fan of that. But they have Clemson at Clemson, at Death Valley. That's going to be obviously a Clemson favorite. We're peeking far ahead into the end of the season. For now, Drake May, I think, is somebody to keep an eye on, because if he can get through that gauntlet with minimal pick, two picks, get through three games, three top ACC teams, three in a row, get through that gauntlet with three interceptions and seven touchdowns, and I think all wins, obviously, you could see Drake May in New York for the finals, at least. I like Drake May. He is my number one sleeper. And another person that I already brought up, J.J. McCarthy, is another guy that I think you could see at least in the finals in New York come the end of the year. Right now he's at 14 touchdowns, three interceptions. Michigan hasn't played anybody. We hear that about every top five team right now. Michigan hasn't played anybody. Georgia hasn't played anybody. Florida State actually has played somebody. Florida State is the team I think is the most scary right now, I will be honest. J.J. McCarthy, though, he has that gauntlet coming up. Not really a gauntlet, just kind of the hard part of the season. Michigan plays Michigan State this week at Michigan State. 2-4 Michigan State. We know what's going on there. They're a mess. Expect Michigan to pull out with that one. And then they play Purdue at home before they have Penn State, Maryland, and Ohio State. To their final four, Purdue, Penn State, Maryland, Ohio State. You have Ohio State at home. You've beat them the last two matchups. Technically speaking, you have the upper hand against them, so you should get the win. So we're speaking half glass full for Michigan right now. Should get the win over Ohio State. Penn State, I think we're going to see if they're real or not this weekend against Ohio State. And I don't know. I don't know how this Penn State game, I think, is – I want to like Penn State. I want to say Penn State's going to be great this year. And they're going to beat Ohio State this week, and they're going to give Michigan a run for their money. But if Penn State struggles with Ohio State and loses, Michigan should blow away Penn State. And then Michigan should run away with the season. So really, I think if you're Michigan, this week is important, because Ohio State, Penn State, the two teams that you should be most worried about, are playing. And I think if Penn State wins this weekend, Penn State wins the Big Ten. Put a future on Penn State. And here's a hot take for you right here. If Penn State loses this weekend, put a national championship future on Michigan. Okay, maybe that was more just for clickbait. Because I don't know. I would put them to make playoffs 100%. I don't know about national championship. If you want to really get my clickbait hot take, that's our actual hot take that I had believed in. I think the winner of the ACC wins the national championship this year. Florida State is dominant enough to win the whole thing. But damn, it would be a crazy, like, Cinderella story. Wouldn't that be? And I think I'm just high on North Carolina right now. I think I've been smoking that North Carolina pack or whatever. And I think everyone wants a Cinderella story in sports, and I think North Carolina is that right now. and everyone's still not talking about them so much. And if they can beat Florida State come the ACC championship, I'd love to see it. I would love to see North Carolina in the whole thing, win the whole thing. However, I don't think it's going to happen. So Florida State, I think Florida State, if they beat North Carolina in the championship, is going to run with it. I think the SEC is struggling. I don't fully love Michigan. But also, if you're Michigan, you know this is probably your last year to make a run before you get suspended. And if you're Michigan fans, you know this is probably your last year with Harbaugh. I fully believe Harbaugh is gone after this year. Why wouldn't he leave? It started with the freaking cheeseburger, and now he's accused of stealing signs, essentially. If you don't know the story that's going on right now, that's like breaking the news, Michigan is being investigated both, I think, inside the program and within the NCAA, or within the Big Ten and within the NCAA, for sign stealing. And obviously, the first thing you think of when you think of sign stealing is the Astros and the garbage cans. And I don't think it's anything similar to that. Essentially, well, from what I've read and what I've heard and what I know and what I'm letting you guys know, the investigative journalist that I am, putting on my journalist hat, this isn't podcast Kevin, this is journalist Kevin, letting you guys know that Michigan is currently under investigation for sign stealing. But essentially, it's, what does that mean? Like a lot of people are asking. There's a rule in the NCAA that you're not allowed to send people to opposing teams, games, practices, anything like that. You're not allowed to basically go watch the game for yourself. This isn't baseball, where you're sending, you know, baseball scouts out there and watching the games or whatever. I don't really know why that's not allowed, so to say. I mean, I understand a little bit, but however, there's 100,000 fans in that stadium, and you're worried about one guy and the 100,000. Like, I don't know if that's also college football, notorious for using the posters. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. They're notorious for using the big ass four square posters, and it'll be Optimus Prime, John Cena, Matt Schaub, and a paw print, and that just means to quarterback kneel it. And it's like signed that, like, legitimately, if you think about it and we break it down into like the dumbest terms, essentially Michigan has some guy who probably played a ton of Resident Evil games, or probably some young kid who grew up like around my age in the 20s, early 30s, who grew up playing a lot of video games, and sent out this guy to games and was cracking those 4x4 codes. The man is just a puzzle genius. I mean, obviously, it's probably more deeper than that. But if you want to break it down and explain it to people in basic terms, they sent some puzzle cracker to go break down these 4x4 codes, or just figure out these guys' signals, literally stealing signs, cracking them. And I think that's smart. I understand it's frowned upon, and you want these people to play this game like it's Madden online. You don't know your opponent. You don't know how they play. You're figuring it out for the first time. You figure it out as you play. But the way the game's changing, the way the world's changing, it's so much easier to find things. So much easier to figure things out. So much easier to figure out patterns. AI is a thing. I think it's a rough rule, and I'm firm with NCAA. Firstly, we are a big, we don't cuss a lot on this podcast, but we're a big fuck NCAA. We do not, like, they're bad people. But they do control football right now, so we can't really do anything about that. So I support the NCAA and what they're going to do. My perspective about all this, if Harbaugh is going to get suspended, suspend him. If the program is going to get suspended, suspend them. Harbaugh already had that 3-game imposed suspension for the cheeseburgers. You're not allowed to buy a recruit a McDonald's double cheeseburger on the recruiting visit. Somebody will snitch. Somebody will get in trouble. Do we forget, however, about the whole... I'm pretty sure it was Tennessee. Are we forgetting about the Tennessee McDonald's, like, giving a recruit's money in McDonald's bag thing? I don't know if anyone remembers that. That, like, I feel like that got swept under the rug, and we forgot about it. And I'm going to look it up real quick. I'm pretty sure, while I'm looking it up, I'll explain it. But the story goes, like, Tennessee, assuming it's Tennessee, they were essentially getting recruits. Yeah, so here it is. They're getting recruits, Tennessee. This is back in 2020. They gave about $60,000 worth of money to recruits, but they would give the money to recruits in McDonald's bags when they visited the campus. Obviously, their head coach was fired. The whole thing. I don't know if they ever got in trouble for it, though. I don't know if they ever got in trouble for it. But essentially, after that, I think like a year later, the McDonald's thing came around for Harbaugh, and that's where we're at now. Like, that's been kind of looming over his head, and now this is looming over his head. And he has the potential to make that national championship run, get the win, and go to the NFL. I think that's what's going to happen, and I think if you're a Michigan fan, expect that to happen. Expect this to be the final push for Michigan. I think they're going to get suspended. They're going to get probably not banned, but suspended from bowl games for a year, 2 years, probably some recruiting, you know, penalties or whatever. But that's kind of how things are lining up. And if you're, you know, a Michigan hater or you don't support what's going on, the recruiting violations, even though everyone's freaking doing it, but if you don't support it and you're one of those guys and you're pro NCAA, Michigan just became your biggest heel. I don't know essentially why you would root against them. But do you want Ohio State instead? I would much prefer Michigan over Ohio State. But they do. This is really what I'm trying to say. This is their final push. They have to make that run if they want to do anything. Mark my words, come off season, a lot of things are going to start happening for Michigan, and I said it's going to happen. I'm calling it. I'm calling it right now. I'm telling you guys what's going to happen. That was the college football news I wanted to talk about. The Michigan scandal, it's pretty big. It's kind of breaking, as in like it just happened or just kind of broke news like 2 days ago, I believe. And we're still trying to figure out everything. Obviously, all these wild allegations I was making earlier were simply just stupid allegations. I don't know. I don't even think anyone in the Big Ten uses the big signs. But a real football head knows what I'm talking about, and a real football fan knows the 4x4 WWE logo, bar stool, Freddy Krueger, dog leash. That means play action right type things. It's the dumbest. I like them, but I figured this would eventually happen. They just, kids these days play too many video games, too many puzzles. Look, I'm a Resident Evil fan. Every single Resident Evil, they're all just full of puzzles like that. If you play enough video games, play enough Tomb Raider, you'll figure out these puzzles. We have, us gamers, us kids these days that grew up playing video games, have good memory, you know? That's the college news for today. We're going to talk week 8 later. I want to talk some NFL before we head over to some predictions as we get to about the halfway mark of the episode. I don't have a ton to talk about because there is a ton to talk about. We could spend hours talking about the NFL, but I have some bullet points that I made throughout the week that I just kind of want to bring up and discuss because I don't really remember them, but they're valid. And this was after Monday. I put my top three teams. I do remember this, and I will vouch for this. My top three teams, I think you can break down the NFL in this. You have your top three, your contenders, and your maybes right now. Maybe two maybes in that maybes. And then everyone else is just kind of competing to get better. Your top three teams right now are the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Lions. I think the Lions are looking good. Dan Campbell is doing something in Detroit, and it's magical. And I'm here for it. And I'm a pro Dan Campbell in Detroit, and I'm liking his coaching style. They beat the Chiefs week one. They're just getting better every week. The Chiefs, however, have bounced back since week one and have gotten better every week. And Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. That offense is just balling out. The defense could get better. Patrick Mahomes has had a couple injury scares, nothing crazy. But the Chiefs are looking good after 6 weeks. And sitting at 5-1 with the Lions and the Eagles, who are my other team. All these three of these teams are just sitting at the best record. They have the best offenses, three best offenses, and maybe not the best defenses right now, but definitely some of the best quarterback play, especially the Chiefs and the Eagles, the best quarterback play. Lions overall, that team is just kind of clicking. Compared to like the Eagles and the Chiefs, where their offense is looking amazing, the Lions are clicking all around. Everyone's just looking really good. The Eagles, Jalen Hurts, had that bad game last week. Shake it off. Look, it's the NFL. You're not going to win every game. You're not going to ball out every game. You're going to have a bad one. And the Jets have an amazing freaking defense. They have the best defense in the league, in my opinion. I think statistically, the Browns have the best defense in the league. But the second best, I think, is the Jets. I'm not looking that up. If I'm wrong, just correct me. But the Jets have the second best defense. Look, what, 3-4 interceptions against three interceptions thrown against the Jets for Jalen Hurts. It's a bounce back game. You'll be fine. 5-1. The undefeated teams had to go down eventually. Eagles, Chiefs, and Lions are my top three. And then I have some contenders who I think are good. Kind of not clicking in some spots. Maybe injuries are keeping them away from those top teams. The Dolphins, the Niners, the Cowboys, the Jets. The Dolphins look good. 1 week they look amazing. The next week they just look good. You know, the difference between them and the Eagles, Chiefs, and the Lions is that the Eagles, Chiefs, and Lions have been looking amazing every week. Even with the losses, they still look really good. I don't know. The Dolphins' defense isn't really clicking like I wanted it to. Not enough to, I think, make a big run. I think while their offense can ball out, you kind of have to because your defense can't stop anybody. The Niners, the 49ers, have your quarterback. Brock Purdy's good. A lot of injuries. You had no CMC last week. I think you had no Debo last week. Just injuries. It's really what it is. Injuries are just kind of keeping them from being that or reaching that next level. The Dallas Cowboys, quarterback. You got a shitty quarterback. I don't know what to tell y'all. Head coach. You have talent. I don't really know. I don't really know what's going on with that team. Same thing, kind of like the Dolphins. One week you look amazing, and the next week you look. The difference between the Dolphins and them is that the next week the Cowboys look bad. They look amazing to bad. It's hard to find. You got to find that median. At least be good every week. The Jets are that team that I think is going to be, and I'll talk about them more, but I have them as a contender that can easily move up, and I don't see them moving down. I think they'll stay at contender, and with some key pieces coming back maybe during playoffs, they'll move up to a potential AFC championship team. This is just my opinion, though. I could easily see why people would disagree with me. But that defense, man, that defense and that offense just has to keep surviving. And some maybes, actually, to both these teams come out of the same division. But the Bengals and the Ravens, the Ravens have a great defense. Lamar and Mark Andrews kind of just got to wake up. Key injuries at running back, obviously, play a role in all this as well. The Bengals, I think, if Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon can get their shit together, you have a great offense. You have the potential for a great offense. Is doing enough. You lost a lot of pieces on the defense during the offseason, but your defense is doing enough. Just keep them, like, the offense, if the offense can get back to where they were last season, I think the Bengals can go from maybe to top team easily. Skip the contender spot. But it's just one of those, it's a big if. You know, Joe Burrow is comfortable now. He got the big paycheck. I don't blame him if he kind of chills out, doesn't want to risk injury. He has been playing injured, you know? That's my top teams, though. That's, like, the teams to keep an eye on right now. Texans look good. They're off this week. They look good, though. Here's the takes I have from the weekend. Hate Cleveland all you want. Like, hate them. Look, I'm not a big Cleveland fan. I'm not a big Deshaun fan. But, hey, man, the defense is good. The number one defense in the AFC. Number one defense in the NFL right now. I think that we need to recognize that. And there's a lot of teams. I mean, I compare them to the Jets. And the fact that the defense is really good. However, the offense just needs to stay alive. They proved that the defense was good enough against the 49ers. And PJ fucking Walker of all people, beat the best NFC defense, according to statistics, just balled out against them. The offense is good enough. The team can find themselves in the postseason. I'm not saying they win to the division. The Bengals, I won't say the Steelers, but the Bengals and the Ravens for sure, one of them is going to get that. But could, there's three wild card spots. Could I see the Browns sneaking into one? 100%. 100% can see the Browns sneaking in to a wild card spot. Baltimore has an amazing defense as well. However, their offense has been pretty sleepy the first quarter of the season. If Lamar can wake up, the Ravens can easily secure a division championship. Kind of the same thing I was saying about really this whole division. Well, not really the Steelers. The Steelers, they got to figure it out. The Steelers just got a lot of gaps to fill up. They're a developing team, all right? They're not ready for a Super Bowl run. They're ready to go above 500 to keep Mike Tomlin's above 500 record alive. But really, I think this division is going to come down to whose offense can wake up first. Because the Bengals, the Browns, and now that I'm reading, I'm realizing this now. I'm not. This isn't what I wrote down. This isn't really anything I realized till just now. That division, the AFC North, is going to go to whoever wins first. Whoever wakes up first. Because I said the same thing I said about, I didn't say the same thing, but similar to what I said, Bengals. I said the Baltimore has an amazing defense. I said the Bengals have a good enough defense. I think the Bengals have a better offense. And I think if the Bengals wake up, it's really who wakes up first. And I don't want to over-explain it. Cleveland can just keep doing their thing. And if neither of these teams wake up, if Baltimore or the Bengals don't wake up, Cleveland secures a spot. If they both wake up, sorry, Cleveland. You're not getting the wild card spot. Maybe, unless the AFC just falls apart. But how this division's shaping up, or how the whole AFC conference is shaping up, you have teams who are falling apart, like the Titans, like the Patriots. But you also have teams that are kind of sneaky good. The Jaguars, they've won three in a row. The Browns, who I've been talking about for a while. So, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I'm just saying keep an eye on these three teams and the winner of the AFC North is going to have the best offense. Or the offense that wakes up first. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's the best way I can explain that. And I have to move on, or else I'll just keep myself in this loop. The Cardinals, when they figure out their roster, are going to be nasty. I was a Jonathan Gannon hater since I saw the whole, what did he do, the handshake shit with the weird, he's weird. How many of you rode the bus here today? How many of you drove here today? Cool. Cool. I don't know if y'all, do y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys rode the bus here?
Welcome back. Who drove over here? Quick, let me see your hands. Who took the bus? Did you have fire in your gut?
Did you have fire in your gut?
Did you have fire in your gut?
Did you? I don't know. He's weird. He's a weird-ass man. But have you seen his defense? Have you seen the way he runs the defense? Have you seen what he's been doing with that offense, that god-awful offense? Once you give this man some puzzle pieces, once you give this man some soldiers, some team players, I'm not saying that nobody on the Cardinals is our team players, but once you give this man some elite pieces, I think the Cardinals can be sneaky, especially in that division. Who's in that division? The Rams, Cardinals, Niners. I'm missing somebody. I'm embarrassed. Oh, no, I'm not. Fucking stupid-ass Seahawks. Yeah, I wasn't missing anybody important. Until they get rid of... Look, I don't even have anything to say about Seattle. I don't talk about Seattle because they're not a relevant team. They're not doing anything to get better. They're literally just being around. You have Geno as your starting quarterback. Geno's... I don't acknowledge the Niners anymore because they don't have a fire in your gut. Did you have a fire in your gut?
Did you have fire in your gut?
Did you? So that's, yeah. I think the Cardinals will be good in like 3 years. Just going to slowly start searching up the bandwagon. I'm Googling where the Cardinals bandwagon is going to be parked at. I might start making my way over there eventually. What else do I have? Russell Wilson is done. Yeah, sorry, Broncos fans. He's done. Sean Payton isn't the problem. The man's a genius. Look what he did with Drew Brees. Once you go two coaches in, one of them is a legend with quarterbacks. And, you know, one coach in, all right, blame the coach. Don't blame the quarterback, especially if he's a legend. Two coaches in, one of them being Sean Payton, and you're still not working out, it's the quarterback. You look back at his history, didn't really work out in Seattle towards the end either. I think it's Russell. And let's be honest, kind of makes sense. The man went to, NC State and Wisconsin? How many Wisconsin quarterbacks are there? Not a lot. Russell Wilson, the best Wisconsin quarterbacks of all time. Russell Wilson and Brooks Bollinger. How many NC State quarterbacks are there? Russell Wilson? Look, I'm not saying Russ isn't good, but maybe look at, was Russ ever good? Yeah, he had a moment. Russ was good. I can't hate on the man. He, at one point, I don't know. I'm not saying he was never good. But the defense did a lot of the carrying for that team. That's all I'm going to say about that. Washington could easily sneak into the wild card. They're an average team. They're a very average team. What does that mean? I could easily see them going 500. Maybe right above 500. I don't think you can go 500 anymore. 17 games. Yeah, I can see them going 9-8. 8-9, still making a playoff wild card spot. They're good. They're not bad. They're just not good. They're gonna get there eventually. But the NFC East is tough. They'll get that third wild card spot if they get the wild card. Not cutting Cousins means Minnesota thinks they can sneak into the postseason. That's kind of what I'm talking about when I say Washington thinks that Washington's good enough to sneak into the postseason. Minnesota thinks they can sneak into the postseason. I think maybe if JJ was on an IR, you might have traded Kirk Cousins. They're expecting probably JJ to come back soon, Justin Jefferson. So you get Kirk Cousins back, and you hope that offense can ball out in the air game, because Madison is not the answer for your run game. Alexander Madison has not been hitting ever since you lost Dalvin. Should have paid Dalvin. I'll always say that. You're kind of your last hurrah. I don't think Kurt will be there next year, but he's good enough to be anywhere. Imagine Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. Imagine Kirk Cousins in Indianapolis. Imagine Kirk Cousins in Dallas. It'd be the same team. But I think Kirk Cousins wants that playoff push, but he's also not going to injure himself, not going to ruin his stock before season, you know, or before next season. The NFC South is back to being a division full of bad teams who will compete. Yeah, so the NFC South is back to being a division full of bad teams. That's a really competitive division. Because they're so bad, they're all going to be competitive for that one playoff spot. Because you know damn well none of them are getting a wild card spot. So they have to compete for that playoff spot. Right now, Tampa Bay is the best of the worst, and it's a close race. But I think they're all racing for above 500, at the moment. Saints are very underwhelming. Derek Carr is very underwhelming. Buccaneers can't figure out their defense. Offense isn't clicking. You're going to lose Mike Evans pretty soon. The Falcons suck. Panthers are going to go. Panthers aren't even competing. Panthers are going to go. I don't know. You don't even get a first-round pick. That's the crazy part. The NFC South is just a wreck. But it's like one of those. It's like the MAC. Such a bad division, it's fun. The Jets are a confusing team. This is my last NFL note halfway through the season. Yeah, the Jets are a confusing team. The defense is scary when they're good. When they show up, the defense is scary. When they don't show up, the whole team is ass. The offense can't win them games. The defense has to win them games. The offense can coast for them. The offense has to coast for them. With Rodgers out, unless you can get the run game started, but Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook, kind of underwhelming because you know that's their only weapons right now. The defense is scary. Like I said, when they show up, three interceptions against Jalen Hurts is no small feat. The offense can coast in the playoffs, and Rodgers can return to save the day if they can get to playoffs. But you got to play Miami. You have to beat Miami. You have to beat the Bills. You have to either win that division or hope for a wild card spot. But with Zach Wilson, with the MILF maniac at your quarterback, it's going to be hard. The Jets, like I said, if they can coast just long enough for Rodgers to have some miraculous comeback, then give me Jets for the Super Bowl. But if they can't, if Rodgers can't come back in time, or if they just start stinking up the joint, I don't know. I think the Jets are one of those teams where you're only going to get one every 5 years. They're good, and you have to capitalize on this, and this is that year. If you don't capitalize, that's the problem. That's going to be a problem. Look, we're only 7 weeks in, week seven now. We're 7 weeks in. The Saints lost again last night to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jags are now four games in a row. I forgot to mention the Thursday game. I wanted to talk week six. Done with week six. Now we're on to week seven. We're previewing week seven and week eight. And because of week seven, I want to talk about that Jacksonville game. Real quick before I go to the preview. 31-24 Jacksonville. ETN balled out, bro. ETN had a hell of a game. Travis Etienne is a very underrated tight end. Trevor Lawrence, 204 yards, one touchdown, 20 for 29. Christian Kirk had a touchdown. Derek Carr, 301 yards, one touchdown, one interception. I don't know. I don't think Derek's the problem. I think that – I don't know what the fuck the problem is there. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. All right, but let's before we go back to college, while we're on pro, we'll go ahead and look through the games this week, talk about the games I want to talk about real quick because we kind of are running out of time here. So let's bang, 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 bang out these games, go to college, bang them out, and then I'll give you my five, not five, I think I have, I'll give you some picks. I'll give you my picks for the week, and then we'll wrap it up before the hour mark. Sunday, October 22nd on CBS. The Colts and Browns. Only reason I'm interested in this game is because Gardner Minshew is starting. Anthony Richardson out for the season. Season-ending shoulder surgery. So he's going to be out for the season after coming off that concussion not too long ago. The Browns are... It is in Indianapolis, but the Browns are favored to win. That defense, man, that defense is crazy. Deshaun should come back for this game. This season he has 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, less than 1,000 yards, 678 yards on the season. Some questionable injuries for this weekend and that game. Deshaun is still questionable, should start. Kareem Hunt is also injured and questionable for that game. Don't know if he'll start. And then, like I said, as far as Indianapolis, they are... quarterback out for the season, but you got Gardner. You got the Minshew mania coming in. Should help you win that game. Defensively, I think the Browns are the better team. They are 3-2 this season, 3-1 in the last three games. The Colts have been on a struggle, losing to Jacksonville last week. They're on a 1-2 of their last three games. However, that only win coming against a piss-poor Tennessee Titans, who, might I add, they barely beat. Unless Gardner can pull a Geno, I think the Browns should run away. I like to see the Browns, again, solidify their defense, solidify their rawness and their toughness this week by kind of potentially shutting out a very banged up and no chemistry Colts offense. It would be really cool to see a shutout this week. I don't know if we'll see it, but if I had to guess any game to be a shutout this week, it'd probably be that one. Another big game I want to look at on this week is going to be the Lions at the Ravens, 12 o'clock on Fox. It's going to be the 5-1 Detroit Lions against the 4-2 Baltimore Ravens. I don't know why I said 5-1 like that. But 5-1 Lions, 4-2 Ravens. Lamar and the Ravens are currently favored to win this game. Lamar has 1,253 yards on the season, but only 5 touchdowns. Jared Goff, 1,600 yards, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. David Montgomery has been having a very quiet, good year. 6 touchdowns, 385 yards. I feel like he's really clutch in the red zone and kind of in those short games when you need him. Lamar being the leading rusher for that team is no surprise. 4 TDs on the season. Zay Flowers, that rookie, somebody I would keep an eye on. He hasn't really had stellar. I have him on fantasy. He hasn't had stellar games, but I'm waiting for that breakout game for him. CJ Gardner-Johnson obviously injured for the Lions. No big injuries on the Ravens. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries practically all season, to be honest. So I hope they kind of figure that out. It looks like they're figuring that out. No significant injuries coming in this week. Defensive, they're all defensive, but they should be fine. So the Ravens should bounce back. This game is really a bounce-back win for the Ravens or a solidifying win for the Lions. The Lions are one of those teams that you kind of didn't really see coming this season as far as being this good. I thought they were going to be great, but this is a win preseason I would have marked up as a loss for the Lions. But it's kind of flip-flopped. I think the Ravens need this win to kind of get the momentum back and get their name out there as a contender. The Lions need this win to keep pushing on and kind of solidifying and proving that they are a tough team. Baltimore is a 3-point favorite. We'll talk about the odds in a little bit on that. Sunday night is going to be the big one. The Dolphins and Eagles in Philadelphia, both 5-1. Arguably a future Super Bowl competition. Philadelphia is a 2.5-point favorite right now. Jalen Hurts, coming off a rough week, is expecting to bounce back. Three interceptions last week. Tua has 14 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on the season, almost 2,000 yards. He has 1,800 yards, 14 TDs, 5 interceptions. Jalen Hurts sitting about 1,500 yards, 7 TDs, 7 interceptions. On track for 30 for 30. It's a Jameis record. A-Chain has been having a, Devon Achane has 5 TDs on the season as a breakout rookie from A&M. Tyreek Hill, 6 TDs, 814 yards. This is really it's a good offensive matchup. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't know what the over is, but I'm betting it. If you look at injuries on both sides, defensively, Xavier Howard is questionable for the Dolphins. Andrew Van Ginkle, their linebacker, is also questionable. Offensively, not a lot going on. Your backups, a lot of backup injuries. Obviously, Chris Brooks is IR, and Jeff Wilson is IR. So, your fullback is questionable. Nothing crazy. Offensively, for the Eagles, as far as injuries, Devontae Smith is questionable, should be expected to play. Dallas Goedert, also questionable, should be expected to play. Same with Lane Johnson. A lot of questionables. Everyone should be expected to play. This is, again, a high-scoring game. I'll tell you who I pick later. Don't want to be biased about it, but this should be really one of the games of the year. It's giving a Bills-Bengals type matchup. 49ers-Vikings are going to be Monday night. 49ers should run away with that one. Real quick, before I move on to college, any other games to look at? Falcons and Bucks, both 3-win teams. Buccaneers looking to keep their number one spot in the South. Falcons trying to figure it out. They're keeping up at 300. Once you shut down Bijan Robinson, which already happened, now the Falcons are struggling again. Cardinals, Seahawks. Seahawks are expected to win. Geno's had an okay season. Kenneth Walker, I feel like, has really been carrying that team. Packers, Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs. Chargers, Chiefs. I'm starting to lose momentum on the Chargers. I used to love them, but what's up? Like, is it Herbert? Is it the coaching? There's somebody who can't clutch when it's time to clutch, and it's starting to be too obvious and too normal for the team, and it's kind of hurting. This would be a huge win for the Chargers, though. It would kind of put them in a contender spot if they can get the win over the Chiefs. Moving on to college, because I am running out of time. I feel like I've been saying that the whole episode. Running out of time. Let's do the top 25 matchups this week. Penn State, Ohio State. That's going to be the first game that kicks off at Ohio State. The number 3 team is hosting Penn State. 63% chance of winning. Kyle McCord, 1,600 yards, 11 touchdowns, 1 interception this season. Drew Allier, 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, no interceptions on the season. Marvin Harris Jr. has had an insane season, 31 catches, 600 yards, 5 touchdowns. Ohio State has that offensive edge, but defensively I think is the better team, only allowing 193 yards around, averaging 193 yards allowed per game, while Ohio State is averaging around 263 yards per game. The last 3 games, obviously both teams are undefeated, but Purdue coming off that 63-0 win over UMass felt like not an embarrassment to UMass, as in like we're going to go in and embarrass you. It felt like we are going to prepare for Ohio State and figure, like, we're using you to get ready for Ohio State, and that's what they did. And I can't even hate on them. Ohio State coming off that 41-7 win over Purdue. A 37-17 toss. Not a struggle, But you expect more against Maryland. And then that 17-14 lucky, I'll say it, lucky win over Notre Dame. I think Penn State is a better team. I think Penn State is a better team. Ohio State has that home field advantage. They have that Ohio State luck. Officiating tends to be on their side. Ohio State is a 5-point favorite. I'll get on this later. We'll talk about it later. But I like Penn State in this one a lot. UCF, Oklahoma. Oklahoma 6-0. UCF is up 500. Oklahoma should run away with this one and probably move up to top five after this week. Air Force finally ranked playing Navy. Air Force, they're a good team. I could see them going undefeated type team. Should beat Navy, no doubt. Baylor and Cincinnati, only reason I want to bring this up is because news just came out not too long ago. Art Briles is under investigation for sexual misconduct with a student. I believe it's a student. I could be wrong. But it's a student, a Baylor student. So that's interesting. Cincinnati, very underwhelming. They're a 3.5-point favorite. Baylor, these are two in the same team. This is really a toss-up if you ask me. I think Cincinnati only has that 3.5-point favorite because they are the home team. It's not even a top 25 matchup, but I just wanted to bring that up. Bo Nix, Cam Ward, that's the matchup in Oregon this weekend. Number 9, Oregon takes on the 4-2 Washington State Cougars. I think if Washington State, not favored to win this game at all, 5% chance to win it. But Cam Ward has 1,700 yards, 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Bo Nix, basically 1,800 yards, 17 touchdowns, 1 interception. Cam Ward is currently in last, 4th in Heisman race officially. Both teams coming off of terrible losses last week. Oregon losing to Washington in that last second. And Arizona upsetting Washington State last week. It's the Pac-12 for you. What can I say? With that said, it's the Pac-12 for you. What can I say? Oregon is a 95% chance of winning. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Washington State and Cam Ward can beat them. Oregon is a 20-point favorite. We'll come back to this game. Tennessee, Alabama, 9-point favorites for Alabama at home. Two very above-average SEC teams. Alabama competing for the West. Tennessee competing to be good. Joe Milton is okay. 1,200 yards, 10 TDs, 4 interceptions. Nothing crazy. Same thing with Jalen Miller. He's okay. 1,300 yards, 11 TDs, 4 interceptions. Everyone on this team is just both teams are just, they're good. Both teams have those wins over A&M and within the last 2 weeks. Alabama beating A&M 2 weeks ago, 26-20. Tennessee getting the squeaking by 2013. Both teams winning by less than a touchdown is crazy. 24-21 win over Arkansas last week for Alabama. Alabama isn't good. They're not amazing. I think they'll win the West, but they're not amazing. Same thing with Tennessee. They're not amazing, but they could compete for the East. It's one of those games where both teams are, it's going to be an amazing game because both teams are the same, one and the same, without a doubt. Final few games I want to talk about. North Carolina, Virginia. Virginia should lose, should be an upset. North Carolina's 24-point favorites, and they should run away. 7-0 for North Carolina is huge coming into week 9. TCU, Kansas State, 4-2, 4-3. That's a good Big 12 matchup. Kansas State, I believe, is 7-point favorites. Kansas State still technically has a shot at the Big 12. It's a long shot, but they have a shot at the Big 12 championship. I talked about Michigan, Michigan State. Michigan State should lose this game. Duke, Florida State is the game I want to talk about. Florida State, I think, is kind of first big game. You had a 41-3 win over Syracuse. Syracuse was kind of on a hot streak for a minute. You beat LSU week one. I'm sorry about the first big game allegations. 45-24, you won for week one against LSU, but also I think LSU was kind of scammy, so what do I know? If you can beat Duke, I think you can win the ACC, and we'll find that out this week. 14-point favorites, Florida State. Jordan Travis, he's had a great year. For 1,400 yards, basically 1,500 yards. 13 touchdowns and an interception. Riley Leonard, hasn't even broke 1,000 yards. Only 3 TDs all season. I think he's been hurt, though, but still. I like Jordan Waters coming out of the running back coming out of Duke. 9 TDs on the season is impressive, and we're only, 8 weeks in? 7 weeks in? Defensively, I think Duke has the better defense. However, Florida State has the better offense. The last 3 games, Duke lost to Notre Dame 21-14 2 weeks ago. So that was a close one, but I don't think Duke was even expected to win that one. So to compete against Notre Dame was impressive. Exposing NC State 24-3 last week. We talked about Florida State last 3 games. They beat Syracuse 41-3. I said that. Virginia Tech 39-17. And that impressive 31-24 win over Clemson in overtime was that. Okay, that was their second big win. So they've had 2 big wins. This third one should solidify them into the ACC championship if they can pull it off. I like Florida State. With that being said, let's finish this podcast. Oh, Utah-USC. Before I go to the last – Before I go to the last part of this pod, we're already an hour over. USC is a 69-point favorites. Backup quarterback coming in for Utah, 500 yards, 3 TDs. That USC defense isn't good, but the offense is balling. 2,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, 4 interceptions for Caleb Williams. Marshawn Lloyd, their running back, only 600 yards and 5 TDs this year. Ty'u Washington with 500 yards and 5 TDs being their main receiver. Last 3 games for USC, they're coming off that horrible 48-20 loss to Notre Dame, which kind of shows that Notre Dame is a good team. They are a dog, and I don't know if that shows that USC is bad or Notre Dame is that good. But with the 43-41 squeaking by Arizona 2 weeks ago in that triple overtime, I don't know. I don't think – we know USC isn't great. They aren't a playoff-caliber team. But, I mean, they could – before the Notre Dame loss, we could see them sneaking their way in there simply just off a record and prestige. Utah, coming off that Oregon State 21-7 loss, bounced back with a 34-13 win over Cal last week. But I don't know, man. That offense just isn't clicking. I'll start the next and final segment, which is my picks, with this. USC is a 7-point favorite, and I'm taking USC. USC minus 7 probably. I think USC can run away with this. It'll be a high scoring game for sure. I don't think Utah offense can get clicking, and I think USC has just enough defense to go over Utah this week. Duke in Florida. Florida is a 14-point favorite. I don't know the odds right now, guys. But I'm just gonna let you know I'm taking Florida minus 14. I'm going to take the favorites on this one as well. And going to take the over. Over is probably sitting somewhere at like, dude, I have no idea. Oh, found it. The over is sitting at 49.5 right now. I'd probably take the over. I expect both these teams to just score. I think Duke can easily put up 14, maybe 17. And I think Florida State will easily double them. So give me the over on that one. Florida State, and give me the money. Give me the minus 14.5. Now it's 14.5. Now it's 14. Give me the minus 14 on, depending on what book you're looking. Give me the points for Florida State, and give me the over for that game. For the next one, I have Penn State, Ohio State. Obviously the big one. Ohio State is a minus 5 favorite. Give me Penn State minus 3. I'll probably live bet a Penn State money line, but for sure Penn State minus five. Give me Penn State minus five. I think they can easily win, lose by a field goal or win the whole thing. Cincinnati, Baylor, I think Cincinnati minus 3.5. Both of these teams are pretty bad. I would take Baylor money line on that one. Alabama, Tennessee. Alabama is a 9-point favorite. I would take Tennessee on the points. I think Tennessee can easily keep this one close. I think 9 is kind of generous. I would give them 6.5 if I was doing the odds. I think Alabama can barely win. I think winning by a touchdown is pretty admirable, pretty expected for this team. Ole Miss and Auburn. Auburn is 3-3. Ole Miss is 5-1. Miss is a 7-point favorite coming to this game. Give me Auburn on the points. They have the home field. They're not a terrible team. I think Ole Miss is kind of getting a little bit more love than they probably deserve. Time to kind of drop them down. I think if anyone can do it, even if they don't win, I think Auburn can kind of keep it close and kind of reality check Ole Miss. Clemson and Miami this week. Preseason would have been an insane game. Still is. It's 4-2 and 4-2. Clemson is a 3-point favorite, but Miami has the home field advantage. This is one of those games I think Clemson needs to win. Dabo needs to win to kind of calm down the fan base, and I think he will. Give me Clemson minus 3. Give me the over-under on that is 48. Give me the under. I know you don't really like betting unders. I think this is going to be a close game. I think a defensive game when it comes to it, and I think 48.5, easily 17-20 type game. Moving on to the NFL, that's my college. You want me to – should I run it back real quick? Let's run it back from the top, starting from start order. So I'm going to have Penn State minus 5. Penn State plus 5 on this one. Give me Penn State plus 5 against Ohio State. Penn State plus 5. Give me Baylor money line. I think Baylor can get the upset over Cincinnati. Give me Tennessee plus 9. I think Alabama at minus 9 is a little generous considering how they've been struggling with a lot of their teams. And I'm not sure Tennessee can win, but I think Tennessee can at least keep it close. Give me – I missed one. Oh, you know what? Let's do this one. Washington State, Oregon. Give me Washington State plus 20. I think 20 is a lot for Washington State. And I'm sorry, 20 is a lot for Oregon. And I think if you're going to have that guy, you're going to have their number one guy at quarterback in the Heisman watch, you should at least give him a little bit of respect. And I think 20 is just a little too generous. I don't think Washington State will win it at all, but I think they can keep it close. I think they can keep them fighting and keep it a close game. Give me on to the next one. Give me Florida and State and Duke. I'm going to take Florida State on the money line and give me Florida. No, you know what? Don't take the money line. Sorry. Yeah, give me the money line and then give me the over for Florida State. And Clemson, Miami, give me Miami plus 3 on that. Probably Miami money line and Miami Clemson under. And finally, we move on to the NFL. I don't have a lot of picks for this one. I'm going to give y'all 3 just off the top. And it's kind of the games I was talking about. Lions, Ravens, I have Lions money line. The Ravens are a 3-point favorite. I think 3 is just a little too close to the line. Might as well just take the money line. I think the Lions, they're better than – we're saying they're good. I get we're giving them the credit, but they're better. They're still even better than what we're saying. I like the Lions a lot. Give me Packers Broncos. Packers are only a 1-point favorite, which is crazy. I think this game will eventually, the line will change here and there. Give me the Packers one, obviously. I don't think the Broncos are going to win this one. The Packers are bad, but the Broncos are a lot worse. And they feel like they're falling apart within the organization. Finally, I got the Dolphins and Eagles. Like I said, Eagles are a 3-point favorite. They need to bounce back after that loss, and I think they will. Give me the Eagles minus 3 for that one. So, final, before we wrap this up, final 3. Eagles minus 3. Give me the Lions, Lions money line, and then give me the Packers money line, and then Eagles minus 3. That is going to be my picks for this week. It's kind of a lot. I didn't really give you a bang, 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 bang. This is it. This is it. This is it. I kind of just read them off. I hope you're writing, because I'm not listing them off this week. It was a lot. It was too much. This has been a lot of an episode, and I feel drained, and I'm glad we are at the end. This is episode 6, guys. Thank y'all. We have a lot on the plate for the weekend of football. We have a lot going on in Michigan. Don't give cheeseburgers. Don't get cheeseburgers from a man in Michigan hat. That's all I got to say. SMU and Temple tonight at 6 o'clock. Temple should get smacked. SMU is a 24-point favorite. So you got some Friday football for you guys. I don't know. That's it. That's all I have for you guys. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Follow me at Podcast Kev. You can find me. You can find us on socials at Gridiron Jabroni for Facebook and Twitter. Email us, DM us, all that good stuff. Add us. Anything you want to do, guys, I appreciate it. Don't forget to tell your friends. Share this. Follow me, fade me. I don't give a fuck. Just rate and review this pod. Thank you, guys. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you next episode.
Kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.